In our remaining time tonight, I wanted to draw your attention to Daniel chapter 6. We've been there for several Wednesdays, and Lord willing, tonight we'll finish up with four takeaways from Daniel's deliverance. You know, Daniel chapter 6 is just one of those wonderful chapters that almost has a fairy tale quality to it. As a matter of fact, when you see most pictures and books, they cartoonize the Daniel in the lion's den and make it cute and fun. I want to tell you something, there was nothing cute or funny about it. When you're cast down into a hole with hungry lions, that's serious business. And I think we need to make it serious with our children when we give the story, to not make it into like a little fairy tale, because then they'll just think that's just like Harry Potter, or it's like something else today, and it loses its value. It loses the intent that God has to show us the miraculous nature of the deliverance, but also the quality of character that put him down in the lion's den. I want us to look down to the end of this particular chapter, beginning at verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. It was very normal for the king to have his own instrumental ensemble to kind of play lullabies while he tried to go to sleep at night. He sent them all away, and he is fasting over a slave. Now, let's just meditate on that. How many kings do you know that would lose sleep at night and be fasting over a slave? And yet that's what we find this king doing. Because Daniel had become more than just a Hebrew slave to him. He had become a trusted advisor. He had come to depend upon Daniel's wisdom. Through the years of being with those kings, he's now, you know, he's not a spring chicken here in this passage. We have a tendency to think that he was a teenager or he was a 20-something, but he was much older than that whenever he was brought into this situation. And the king is up all night long, sleepless, fasting, because Daniel is down in the lion's den. Verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of the lions. And when he was come to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? That's a lot to say, is it not? Instead of, Daniel, are you alive? He goes into a whole lot more detail, does he not? It's typical of a pagan king. Is the God that you serve continually, is he able to deliver thee? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Now, I'm sure that Daniel had greeted him that way many times before. I see this as a response that the king would have recognized immediately. That's my Daniel. King, live forever. You ever had somebody that you worked with that always had a statement that they always made to you when you came into work or whatever? Some of us have different greetings that we have that I've come to expect from different individuals in the morning time, or maybe when we're saying goodbye in the evening, you know. There'll be a standard greeting, and you just know who that person is and what they're going to say. And he responds, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? These phrases are important, folks, when you read your Bible. When we're telling our children about this, why? Because he believed in his God. It was personal with Daniel. It was his God, and he believed him. and he was spared. Notice verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. They didn't even make it to the bottom without being torn to pieces. Now, it's pretty radical when we think about this, that those leaders and their children and their wives were cast in there with them. But that was normal. That was normal in this time period for those things, because what they did, they wanted to eliminate the possibility of relatives coming back and saying, you killed my father, you killed my mother, I'm going to kill you. The threat of assassinations was lowered when they cleaned the whole group out. And so they cast all of them into the lion's den. Then King Darius wrote, verse 25, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and, notice please, in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So we're given a little bit of a backdrop here of the success that Daniel had as minister to the king, but also his name is mentioned twice in the decree that goes out to all the known world, that the known world of that time, you worship the God of whom? Daniel. Daniel's name is mentioned. His God. Now that made me think. There's some takeaways here that you and I need to get a hold of here, because God is emphasizing something. This isn't a cute Bible story. This is full of principles and truth for the children of God. And if there was ever a time in history that we need to know how to stand up against all the governments that are going to come against the believers, which they are doing so in countries all around the world, what do? God honors Daniel's. Number one, I want you to see that personal integrity may open doors of boundless opportunity that otherwise would be closed to others. Now, what is integrity? Integrity is simply this. I learned this definition many, many years ago, and I've memorized it because I want to keep it in my heart and mind, because the Bible has a lot to say about integrity. Integrity is being what you advertise yourself to be. A lot of people advertise themselves, but they aren't what they advertise themselves to be. Integrity is being what you advertise yourself to be. Oh, the Bible has a great deal to say about integrity. Proverbs 10 and verse 9, he that walketh uprightly, or with integrity, walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Proverbs 28 and verse 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness, or it could be translated, in his integrity, than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Proverbs 11, 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Every time the Hebrew word that's translated various ways, integrity or uprightly, or walking in righteousness, same Hebrew word, is always put up in the book of Proverbs against perverseness, which is the opposite of integrity. There's more. Proverbs 19 and verse 1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Proverbs 20 and verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. What does that say? You live with integrity before your family. Dads, moms, grandparents, you live with integrity before your family. The children are blessed after him. You know why we have so many problems today? It's because we're living two different lives. There's one life that we live before God's people, and there's the life that we live out in the community, you know, other people, when we're not among our church people. That's dangerous because, you see, there's little eyes watching that all the time. They're watching that all the time. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You know what that is? That's another definition of integrity. That what men see, God also sees. And He takes note of that you're walking honestly. And then finally, Proverbs 4, verses 25 through 27. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know what that is? That's a definition of integrity. That's just being what you advertise yourself to be. I want you to see, secondly, number two, faith demonstrated in the life of a believer may set the stage for the overt demonstration of God's sovereign control in the affairs of men. How many times have we seen throughout history God's power demonstrated in the affairs of men? I love to read books on World War I and World War II, and I look through there, and what I'm looking for is the hand of providence in history. And I want to tell you, God's hand's found in the Civil War and in nations that rise and fall, and you see His hand leading up to World War I, and then the war that was going to end all wars, that was put out by all the do-gooders of the time, found out that that wasn't true. And then World War II. And you see how God just worked in so many different ways. And His hand was at work to allow those nations that stood for what was right to win. But I don't know. I read in my Bible that it's going to look like that all the evil of the world is going to win in the end. But it doesn't, because God comes back and He makes all things right. That's the picture that we see in the book of Revelation. But your faith, Christian, your faith demonstrated where everybody can see may allow God to demonstrate His power and control in your life and in your life situations, because you believe God and you trust God. I think we can look back over this ministry and we can see the hand of God and how He has been able to demonstrate His power and His grace because of faithful people just doing what's right. Doing what's right today. Doing what's right today. Every day doing what's right. Some people say, well, you know, it's all right if you trim a little here and there. Maybe you can cut a corner here or there. I want to tell you something. If you want God's power demonstrated in your life, there's no trimming of anything. You do what's right every day. You do what's right every day with every person. You don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't trim. Bible warns about trimming. Trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 17. He was confronting Israel about them trimming their way, cutting corners to seek the love of the other nations that were all around them. And God said, you're going into captivity. He couldn't demonstrate His power in their behalf because they weren't demonstrating their faith here upon this earth. Number three, even pagan kings may be awakened by the miracles of God and respond with reverent respect toward God when somebody will stand up and be counted for Him. Even a pagan king. What does he do? He sends out a decree to all the known world, and he says twice, worship and follow the God of Daniel. His God's alive and is powerful. What an amazing statement to be found. The miracles of God can cause a pagan king to give reverence to to the sovereign of the universe. And then finally, Daniel enjoyed great success in the reigns of Darius and Cyrus because of his personal integrity. We're told in that last verse of chapter 6, so this Daniel, how specific the Hebrew is. It's not any Daniel that happened to be alive at that time, but this Daniel. Why is the Bible so specific? God doesn't want any doubt about who He used and who honored Him and who had personal integrity and who believed God. It was this Daniel. And he had prospered, he had success in the reign not only of the king, presently Darius, but also in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Why? He believed his God and he lived a life of integrity. Folks, I think these four takeaways, these are just ones that I came up with just in my own personal study. But I want to tell you, it's helped me to get more out of the life of Daniel. This has helped me in my own personal devotions of the rest of the book. You know what God trusts him with now, beginning at chapter 7? What does he trust him with? The unfolding of his plan for the future. Daniel had demonstrated he could be trusted with revelation about the future. And God unfolds to Daniel what becomes the foundation of prophecy for the New Testament. Because the New Testament harkens back to the book of Daniel. Back to the book of Daniel. God trusted this man to unfold the revelation of the future because he was a man of integrity. May God help us to have integrity. Be what we advertise ourselves to be. Don't be a fake and a fraud. The world is full of them. They're a dime a dozen. Fakes and frauds. If you have to go around having to remember all the lies you've told, if you tell the truth every day, every time, you don't have to go back and try to remember what you said to somebody. Amen? Dr. Hobbs used that as an illustration with us when we were in chapel. I remember sitting over in that academy building and remembering the message about the people that lie all the time have to have a good mind to remember all the lies they've told. But if you're a person of integrity, you don't have to worry about remembering what you said because you said the same thing, which is right and true. And that's the kind of children we need. That's the kind of young people we need. That's the kind of adults that we need in the Milton community. So we can be a testimony to those people that we come in contact with. Do you know why people call our church and people ask for us to pray for their needs? Because they know we're a praying church. They know we're a praying church. What we live before others is honest and it's full of integrity. And I appreciate that about you folks. What a blessing it is whenever people call. You want to know how important it is to do what's right and to live right and to be right and not follow the pattern of the world? That's what everybody expects. They don't expect you to do what's right every time. They don't expect you to follow the principles of the Word of God every day of your life. They don't expect that because they don't do it. But how refreshing it is when somebody does, like a Daniel, whose name was published throughout the kingdom, because he loved his God, he believed his God, and he lived a life of integrity. Father, help us. Oh, we're so feeble and frail. We fail these so many times. But I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to just have an ounce of Daniel. To be that one that believes your word and lives your word before the community so that our talk matches our walk. Oh, Father, work in our hearts tonight and convict us of the sin of being two-faced, of being one way with one group and another way with another group. Lord, that's just shallow hypocrisy, and sooner or later it will be revealed. Sooner or later it will come out. and we will lost what testimony we had. Father, help us to be genuine and true for Thee, our wonderful and worthy Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.